This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the help we have been enjoying. Thank you. We say thank you.
Smeto fatoneto sisu situ lapto petopeno sisu to lamanatisu sitobi to lai sutufe feretenusia two one against the other, one against another. Oh, not same. They're not same. Not same. Metu sesino takio talamana kiato. Come. More one. Less of the horda. More of one. Less of the horda. More of the spirit. Less of the flesh. More of the spirit. Less of the flesh. Miota meote. Mito sisiote. One against another. Warring against another. Patoshiteno participata. Partnership. Opinosio take a letter to Sianta. Metuna penomeno many victories. Many victories. Bring many victory. Sign off on your victory. Signing off on your victory. Bring you victory victuals. Men racing in the spirit. Men of the spirit. More spirit. Spirit dominion. Spirit multiply. Spirit fruitfulness. Spirit mandate. Oh, victory mandate is here. See the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Father. The theme is still spirit versus flesh, cultivating nature and fruit. We are in lesson 4. Our topic today is way of the spirit versus flesh. We did the first part last week. We are going to the second part this week. So this is part 2 of way of the spirit versus flesh. Quickly, let's just open our Bibles to Jeremiah 17, 5-9. Genesis 6, 12. Okay. 1, 2, go. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Genesis 6 verse 12. Want to go. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5. Want to go. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. Can we shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
So today we have three objectives. Okay, the first one, we want to further bring clarity through biblical insights to the consequences of coming under the influence of this world and fallen spirits. We want to show that this world, its laws, its trainings, and its learning eventually inhabits and governs whoever submits to it. And lastly, we want to trace the nature in man to the understanding and the work that produces fruit in the soul. Quickly going to the introduction. The courses and trainings undergone by man through doctrine and by the governance of spirit all work together to form a way within him. The ways of whichever world a man continually engages will in time become the way written upon his heart until he fully owns that way. We can see this in Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, and we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every word operates laws within it. And these laws determine the kind of life it can sustain. That is, its nature form. For example, the aquatic world functions under its own unique laws, distinct from those of the terrestrial world. And these laws dictate the type of life it supports, even shaping the physical form, structure, and behavior of the creatures within it. The ways tattooed or embossed within a man inform his world. This formation may have come by the influence of spirits and the doctrines of another. Yet he eventually thinks, perceives, relates, and responds from what he has inwardly owned as his own. What began as external instructions becomes internal nature. Jeremiah 10:23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The ways or word of a man becomes the wiring of righteousness to him. His sense of right and wrong, his convictions, his judgment, and his moral compass are all drawn from what has framed him within. This is the understanding that is in him. This is to say that the course and training of this world eventually find its way into the core of a man who submits to his learning, and such a man is rightly said to have gained the world. The world is not merely an outward society or system, but an inward frame of fleshly ways, a shaping of perception, appetite, and judgment that offers no godly profit to the soul. The training of this world gives a fleshly understanding to man's heart. Proverbs 14:12. See, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof.
The way of death.
So there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know, another scripture I also learned growing up was, Amotuba Wanoki. What's the English version of that? Stiff neck. Can we open that, please? Is it in the Bible?
Yeah.
Forgive me. The reason why I said we should open it is because there were some things I thought were scriptures while growing up. But there was a time I think somebody used it and they say open it and we looked for it, we did not see it. One of it is Igbatagbili Olowo Kifo. They say, as it is written in your word, the calabash you gave you will not break. Okay, where is that? We could not find it. Say, it's not written anywhere. But we understand the concept of that, but we know that that's on word for word was not written. Okay, Proverbs 29 verse 1. Say anything about bar with your one key. Your paranology July sea tunshi. What's the English of this? Say he that is being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Amen. Lord have mercy. So also, the way of the Spirit can be imprinted upon the heart of any man who willingly embraces the leading and training of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the Spirit. Such a man is of the world to come, where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:13. So nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Hebrews 2:5. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now, truth be told, is that no man is innocent, you know, of this world that we are in. Because when you look at the way a man is born, I think Psalms was saying that in sin was I conceived, right? And in iniquity was I shapened, giving us two things. There's the conception, and then there's the shaping of a man. Say, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin. No, this in sin comes first. Say, in sin did my mother do what? Conceive me. Yes, we can use this in the natural parlance of a woman, you know, getting pregnant, but much more, this also speaks about the formation of the soul of a man. As it pertains to the natural, it also pertains to your soul. So your soul was conceived in sin, and it was shaped. Now, when you say shape, shape is giving, defining the framework of the soul, defining the expression, defining the identity of the soul. All this was done in iniquity. Now, that's why a child does not need anybody to tutor him on how to do bad. You don't need a special class. You don't need somebody to begin to lecture you on how to lie or how to do certain things that are wrong. By reason of where you have been born and the influence of evil spirits, we learn all these things by default. In fact, your personal angel cannot stop it. Do you know we all have angels? Do you know that? But in the midst of you having angels, you still learn vices. You still learn habits that are not of God. Do you know why? Because really, this earth has been leased out to another. And I'm saying all this, you know, so that we can know that this framing and shaping begins from the outside. It begins from the outside. Every man that is born, you were born with a spirit that was not dead. Do you know that? Your spirit was not dead when you were born. Your spirit was alive because that spirit and soul came from God. It is parents that come together to contribute to your body being formed. But the spirit and soul that inhabits that body came from God. And nothing is coming from God that has sin inside it. So you that are sitting here, there was once a time that your spirit and soul did not have sin. But by reason of where you were born, by reason of the container or the vessel through which you came, the stain of sin touched your spirit. Not immediately. It began to touch your soul. Immediately you were born, that thing began to emit radiations towards your soul, but it could not touch your spirit. Because nothing can touch your spirit except by your consent. Nothing can touch your spirit man except by your consent. That's why the spirit man of every child dies at the age of accountability. So that is why it is very expedient that we, you know, that God is raising in this light, you know, we race into fetching ways, fetching thoughts, fetching understanding, fetching formation within. Reason being that it is possible to raise a child, you know, that sin will not be able to touch his spirit until he becomes born again. Do you know that? But from the day you give birth to that child, evil spirits are already hovering around. A new project has come. Operation kill him. Because when you see the thief has no two jobs. See, he comes to do what? Kill and destroy. That's the thief for you. Even when he comes around you trying to offer you good, his intention is to steal. is to kill and is to destroy. So when they come, when a new child is born, there is an alarm in the realm of the spirit. A new project has been brought to us. And the project is to kill that child. So that's why as parents, when we allow evil spirit to strive in our atmosphere, we don't know what we are doing. You know, because angels understand order. So when there's disorder in the house, know that evil spirits are present. They are jumping and happy because there's an avenue to kill. You have opened a doorway, a legal doorway for them to strike. So when you do that, we don't know that a child's life is at stake. So a child can be with you, smiling, calling mommy and daddy, but that child has died. That's why, you know, our daddy keeps emphasizing that this message was travel first, second, third, and fourth generation. Do you know why? Because it's possible to arrive at that point that we have mastery of how to raise a child and that child will not die. That's one of the places we are going to. That a child will be born and there's enough resource, enough capacity of father and mother that this child is a project that will not die in our hands. And we successfully transition this child from his original spirit that came from God into a Christ spirit. And sin will not touch that spirit's child. But that sin is not by mouth. We can decide and say, oh, this child, but by things happen to you, you will not know when you will lose guard. You don't know when you just open the door for the adversary because they know buttons to press. They know things to touch because it's a project to them. They can't go back empty-handed. They can't go and tell Satan they failed. So they will do everything around you to ensure that you open up the door to them. That's why there are many battles that we must win as in our single days. Even before we get married. Because look at when Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was penning down, you know, in the book of Hebrews. He began to say that Levi was in the loins of Abraham. How many generations was Levi to Abraham? But a man carried a seed that would eventually manifest in the fourth, fifth generation. They said Levi paid tithe in Abraham. So there are things you are doing right now, there are obediences you are carrying out that will reflect in your third and fourth generation. There are also disobediences that we are engaging in that if we continue, our children will suffer for it. So I'm just trying to say that by reason of all these things, that is where when they kill the spirit, you know, they begin to pump the soul with ideas, pump the soul with impressions, pump the soul with thoughts that forms a base of understanding to carry out life. That's their project. They want every man to be raised in the wisdom of this world. So they are encompassing around is to begin to deposit. Because why? There is a window to the mind. There's a window to the heart. So anything that would be resident in the soul of a man, you know, would travel from that door and the window and be embossed upon his heart. So that's why what you give your eye to is important. What you give your ears to hear is important. What you give your body to feel is important. Because you are not just doing something, you are passing signals into your inward man. And these signals eventually form the basis of your understanding. When you look at Moses was born by a Hebrew woman, nurtured for 3 months before he was moved into the house of what? Of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. And for 40 years, Acts chapter 7 makes us to realize, said he was learned in all the way of Egypt. All the wisdom of Egypt. So it was a wisdom. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So, when you see this, Moses learned a wisdom that had many aspects. It is one wisdom, but it has divisions. Not every Egyptian had this understanding. But because of where Moses was, where he grew up, you can't grow up as a prince and not be exposed to this. It's a prince that is learned in all the wisdom of a world. So Egypt was a world, and when Moses learned all the wisdom, he became mighty in words. So the secret of might is hidden in the learning of wisdom.
So when you learn a wisdom, not shabbily, he said all. So the world is calibrated. The world has its allness, but it has its divisions. So you can learn a division of the world, but you're not yet mighty. When they say a man is mighty, is when he has learned all the wisdom contained in a world. So when it comes to Egypt, Moses was vast. Moses had understanding of Egypt. In fact, Moses can stand as Egypt. He could represent Egypt in all their endeavors. And God cannot use a man like that. Although he had an inclination of the call of God upon his life, they had to take him to another place for 40 years to crumble the thing that he has learned and to reprogram him. That's why when you look at Genesis and you say that, when you say that some men, when they began to give birth, when sons of God married the daughters of men, so they began to give birth to mighty men. Mighty men is not that they have muscle. It's that they are wise in a wisdom. In the wisdom of a world that is against God. After God wiped them away, and all of them were on Mount Ararat, they said a man stood up. He said he was mighty before the presence of God. A mighty hunter. He was not mighty in the things of God. He was engaging another world before the presence, and he became mighty. He said he began to be a mighty hunter before the presence of God. The people that were in the land that was promised, they called them mighty men. Not because of their muscles. These men had breakthrough into the understanding of the world. They were learned in all the wisdom of the world. Can we say amen? That's one of the things that God wants to do. He wants to stop our progression in learning that wisdom and teach us another wisdom. Because you cannot separate flesh and wisdom. Flesh is a wisdom that has been weaved inside us. So that's why you cannot say you don't like wisdom. Because another wisdom is already running you. And he wants you to learn and learn until you can acquire all the wisdom of this world. And you become mighty. When you see a mighty man can look at God. When you see the man of sin, say opposeth everything that is God. Everything. That man is mighty. He has been so much trained to resist God. So all those little instructions Holy Ghost is giving you is so that they can remove that capacity from you to be able to resist God. Where Satan is taking all of us to is so that we can be people that can resist God. That when God is coming, we see that this man wants to spoil my life. When God is coming, we see that this thing is against my life. And then we can say, no, I don't want. Let's look at the nature and understanding in a man. The understanding in a man is the treasure of the nature within him. It forms his way, opinion, views on matters, judgment, and conclusions. It informs how he interprets things and determines his ability to execute decisions and actions. One of the prevalent views upon the earth right now is lack of trust. It's a wisdom. You know, a particular guy, you know, because of how things are done, you know, in the Western world, you know, everything that he owned was in the name of his mother. Because he understood that if he gets married, the lady can use it against him and cut away everything that he has. So that thing informed another wisdom that he now put everything he had in the name of his mother. So eventually when that lady found out, she said she's no longer doing it again. And I'm like, oh, really? The reason why you wanted to go into it in the first place, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. And when you see social media, when you see guys chatting, say, ah, you represent the brotherhood well. Can you see wisdom? Can you see protecting one's life? We can see that understanding was birthed from the pit of hell. Both understandings. The understanding from this side and the understanding from this. Both of them are wise in evil. They are different views. Different views. And no, we are in a world where you can be seated here in Allen, but your view is not a Nigerian view. You have imbibed a view of another world. Your eye is so open that when you see people talk, things are happening to men. No? Remember, if we're talking one day or that, and we're like, we are innocent of so many things. This covering has made us so innocent. When people are talking, I'm like, where is this coming from? And that is a normal thing among many people. Look, can you say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, there are some prevalent ideologies in the air today. If you encounter them, by the time they are done talking, you'll be like, ah, this thing makes sense, but it is evil. It is evil. Opinions, views on matter, judgments, conclusions. You know, all these things are tied to the understanding of a man. See, understanding. Where you fetch all these things from is from a base in you called understanding. It's sitting in your heart. You might not even know that it is there, but it is there. For many of us, it was formed, you know, by reason of exposure to different things. It was formed by reason of the house that you grew up in. It was formed by reason, you know, places you went to that you were not matured enough, you know, to resist the influence of what that place had to offer. That base, sometimes you yourself, you are unable to contribute to a large percentage of that thing. Because before you fully grasp your environment and understand, something's already seated. Can we say amen? Amen. You naturally respond to some situations. It's not ordinary. You feel that is just you, but it is as a result of work that has been done over time within you. The way you cannot stop talking in certain situations, the way you cannot see something and overlook, you cannot overlook a brother's flaw, is because of an understanding that is seated within you. You cannot give excuse because of an understanding that is seated with you. You feel this thing cannot be excused. It must be addressed. This, in fact, the way you address it is fetched from an understanding. Can we say amen? Amen. The way in a man is the understanding within him. It is by this inward understanding a soul expresses itself. It is not formed by merely committing knowledge to memory, but by practice of obedience and thorough spiritual exercise. No, that's why we can be exposed to so much knowledge, but our ways have not changed. Because the reason for this exposure unto faith is to enable our feet to begin to take steps. When you begin to take steps, that is when they can begin to erase laws. Because when you are taking steps against your default nature, it will be painful. There is no way you can take steps against your default nature and you'll be smiling. You can be smiling outside, but inside you are bleeding. Because that thing did not get there in a day. It took time, and they wrote principles. They wrote, if they open your inside, it is a warehouse of instructions. That's why two people can see a particular gesture and interpret it in two different ways. That's why a sister enters this church like this and goes like this. By the time you engage another person, you say, sister, she bonku. Kokimi, she did not greet me. She did not do this. Oh, I greeted her, she did not respond. Oh, I did this. Or the person might even respond and say, did you see the way she responded? You greet the person, say, good morning. Say, her facial expression was, by the time you begin to read those meanings, how many of you have read that kind of meaning before? As the brothers don't see this kind of things. By the time you begin to interpret that thing, know that interpretation is coming from a place somewhere. It's coming because in your heart of hearts, space for forbearance, no space for tolerance, no space for allowing the possible flaws of your other party. And that person will see that thing and be like, why is this sister like this? And go, my sister, I noticed this. How are you? What happened? Hope you are fine. How was work? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I did not even know. I was crying. It was my boss shouted at me today. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody has already recoiled because of an understanding. Somebody saw another thing and went ahead because another understanding is already sitting. I know that, yes, my brother might be like this, but I should not allow this thing to now define my expression towards him. Then he takes another steps and goes and says, Kilo Shelley, what happened? Why are you like this? Sincerely, when you did that, I felt like this, but I knew that it's not, that something must have happened. That person is worried to make reconciliation. Another person has close that chapter in his mind that, well, everybody should be in their lane. If that's how the person wants to be doing, well, I don't have time for rubbish. That is an understanding talking. Another person, that's why Jesus said that when your brother offends you seven times, that, or when you offend your brother seven, you must keep on going back. That seven times to make amends. So both the person that is making amends and the person making the amends, both of them must be open to consistent communication. So when you get to that point in your mind that you say you've reached a threshold, that threshold you have reached is just showing your elastic limit. That flesh has already caged you in, that you cannot go beyond. So taking a step outside of that is walking in the spirit. So taking a step intentionally against that barrier that you have, when everything within you is saying that, no, I can no longer do this. This person has been taking me for a ride. And you can shut down that thing because Holy Ghost will be talking also within you. Holy Ghost will be saying that, no. Give allowance for that person. Give allowance for that person's flaw within your heart. And take this contrary step. Go and meet him. And that person will say, no, I'll not go and meet him. You go and form another association and begin to talk about that. That is also an understanding of flesh. Because you are trying to justify. By the time you have finished telling your own part to the other person, that person you are now telling, who is not the person that has offended you, will now see reason with you, say, that person did very bad. No. And I used to hold this person highest. I did not know this person can do this. Let's pray for him. That prayer is not coming from the spirit. It is a fleshly arrangement just to justify your conscience. Because the original mandate in the heart of Jesus is that you go to your brother. When you go to your brother and you're unable to win your brother, you cannot bring another person. You are not reporting because you want justification. You are taking it because you want reconciliation. So you bringing in a third party is because you want him to go with you to your brother. That's the only way you can overcome offense. Because offense thrives in secrecy. Something has happened and you are keeping it. You are keeping it. Then you feel another person that maybe is also not wise, can also help you find it to flame. So it begins to grow. Begins to have a wrong opinion that you could have just gone and ended the matter and reconciled. So flesh is an elastic limit that tells you can go this far, but you can't go anymore. In fact, some certain kind of flesh have some level of patience. But every patience that flesh has is still hasty before God. Because you say, okay, a particular time you are going to that brother because you want to have something to hold against him. Oh my God, this happens between husband and wife. Sometimes you are provoked and you say some things. You are waiting for the response of your wife so that you can have ground to hold against her. That why would you say such a thing? Not because you wanted to make peace. But it is obvious and clear that you are wrong. But you want to also, you want to find a way, you want to logoju. We just want to find a ground that, no, and justify yourself and just find something to just hold on to. In doing that, you are further elaborating your stay in flesh. I'm only going to be telling you, you don't need all this. Go and apologize. It's okay, sweetheart, I'm sorry. But you know, only going to say, don't say, but you know. Say you are sorry. Say, I'm sorry, but why are you saying but? Just apologize and move on. But we want to apologize and also see justify ourselves. So that the person can also know what they have done wrong. Holy Ghost did not send you that work. Say, just tell the person you are sorry and move on. I'm just trying to show us practical realities of flesh. Not just that we are just talking flesh, spirit. No, see what flesh is. That limit that makes you stand in your self-justification is flesh. That you cannot take a step outside your feeling. Hey, when you are ruled by your feeling, you are ruled by flesh. The breath of the Almighty gave Adam the understanding to express the living nature in the garden. By this, he had a hedge over every other creature, taking dominion upon the earth, and with this inward light he was able to tend and keep the garden. When the understanding in the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar was taken away, his heart was changed, and that of the beast was given him. He behaved just as a wild beast would, revealing the actual nature that had now taken residence within him. No soul is truly void of understanding.
The absence of this understanding worked by the Spirit indicates the presence of another, one imparted by the adversary to power the fleshly nature. Ignorance, darkness, and foolishness of heart are different expressions of the adversary's understanding. A darkened understanding and the blindness of the heart give expression to the unclean and ungodly nature, shaping an ignorant man, barren of the godly life. Such darkness makes the works of a man fleshly, for a blinded heart cannot bring forth righteousness. Wicked understanding gives expression of the corrupt flesh in a man. By such understanding, he continually brings forth evil works. All unrighteousness, wickedness and maliciousness, covetousness and hatred flow from this darkened nature. The heart becomes a fountain of murder, envy, deceit, and every unclean work. So all these things are things that are resident within the heart. You know, I think the book of Proverbs was the one saying that, you know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What will drive it out is the rod of correction. So forget it. Every man is foolish. Every man has things bound up in his heart that it will take the rod of correction. That rod of correction is the Holy Ghost that weaves that rod. Can you say the Holy Ghost? Weaves the rod of correction. He puts it in the hand of our parents in the Lord. In fact, your natural parents can have rod of correction. The Holy Ghost that will sit on them. They will shout on you for some things. They will crumble some things. They will shut all those things down. Holy Ghost is the one in charge of it. Spiritual parents, they will correct you, do this, do that. Before you know it, what they are addressing really is foolishness in our hearts. Because if they leave us like that, say they leave us like that. Say premium foolishness. Waiting to be expressed. We can look good, we can look fine, we can look sweet, but we are carriers of foolish things. Foolish ideas. Foolish ideologies, foolish judgments, foolish things. A lot of them. That we will not even have eyes to see if God does not help our parents. You will never. That's why sometimes it's good. You know, if you have the opportunity to have brethren stay with you, you will not know you have some foolishness inside you. They will do legitimate wrong things while you do right. But your response to the person's wrong is now wrong. And you are using that as a justification to stay in your wrong. Person has done something wrong, obviously. But your own response to must be in righteousness. Looking at the ways of a man and his deeds. Why men judge by outward appearance? Say outward appearance. And actions. Action. The Lord looks upon the heart and concludes a man by his inward frame and nature. The ways and understanding within a man form the true architecture of his personality. Works or deeds. The first work is W-A-L-K. And works, W-O-R-K-S, or deeds, are generated by the understanding within the soul for the purpose of bearing the fruit of the nature within the heart. Every understanding within the heart produces its distinct works, which both reflect the inward ways of the soul and they contribute to fruiting according to the nature it carries. The works and deeds of a man are consequential to the nature within him and the fruit he bears. The works of the fleshly nature yield fruit of death when engaged, while the deeds of the spirit mortify the flesh, enabling the believer to engage in works of righteousness whose wages is life. For example, fornication, which flows from a darkened understanding and an ignorant heart, is a work of the fleshly way within the soul. The wages of such works is death, even affecting the body. The ways of a man and his deeds. You know, I was reading some portion of the scripture, you know, that was pointing to how a man should carry out his activities. The way you read Colossians, the last chapter of Colossians was evidently just talking about relationship, husband to wife, wife to husband, you know, parents to children, children to parents, servant to their master. And when you look at that relationship, it's just basically to interpret the doctrinal, you know, understanding he has been trying to pass across from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And, you know, what is that for us? You know, there was a particular place that this book of Colossians was saying that whatever you do, do it heartily. As unto the Lord. Say, as unto the Lord. Say, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. As to the Lord. And not to men. So, that your washing of car that is stressful to you, just imagine the Lord Jesus that just drove in. And say, oh, bro, please help me wash my car. How will you wash that car? Or you are sleeping, that it is around 4:35, that sleep is entering your body. You are roommate with Jesus Christ. Let me just say that. And he is to go to work on a Monday morning. The responsibility to cook falls on you. That, okay, according to the roster, I don't even know, will you share roster with Jesus that you cook? Cook day one, let me cook day two. Cook day three. Your mind should be, let me cook everything. In the person I say, no, let me cook. Hey, oh yeah, cook. But we have a natural mindset that no. Responsibility must be shared. Take your own, let me take my own. We cannot bear everything because we don't see the person that is Jesus staying with us. But if it's really Jesus that say, let me stay with you. I say, you know, I say, okay, timetable. Monday morning, washing toilet, Jesus Christ. Tuesday, cooking food, Jesus. Wednesday, doing this. Will you do that? What will be your default setting? I will wash. I will cook. But we can't do that with our brothers. Listen now, the way he borrowed there, whose boat was that? He did not send him notes before. Entered his boat. In fact, it was as though he entered the boat and tell them to push it backward a bit. I don't think he took permission like that. No, if it was Jesus that just came and said, this shoe is fine, let me wear it out today. And he just wore it. And by the time he's coming back, I'm like, you wore my shoe? My shoe? This is my best shoe. I'm sure you'll not do that now. Be like, you count it worthy that Jesus can wear my shoe. But you are not seeing it. You are not finding yourself worthy that Bro Fortune can wear my shoe. You can spark. Change it for him. Never ever in your life. When you had no place, am I the one that took you in? I gave you a place to stay, and now my things, you are still using my things. But if we really want to obey that scripture, doing everything heartily as to who? You know, your attitude to things will change. When some things are very stressful and they are making demands, and you see that it is the Lord making this demand, you will jump up, you will not complain. So that place now makes sense. When he said, do all things without murmuring, without complaint, it's because you have a heart that is unto the Lord. So any other mindset apart from that is flesh. It's flesh. It's flesh. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It's also the same thing they were saying. They said, do all things with charity. If you begin to factor this in, that all things, my responses, because you can't naturally do all things like that. They must have done a work within you. They must have raised another standard within you called the standard of righteousness. It must have been hewn up, carefully crafted and woven. You know, there's a default nature you have that is the only thing you know. But then they have raised something else that when you want to default, there's something else pulling you. That's a victory of some sort. Something else is already pulling you. At a point, you don't know any other thing. The only thing you know is to default to flesh. But Holy Ghost will, by teaching, preaching, instruction, raise another measurement before you. That when you want to default to flesh, you are seeing something else. You know, when you go with flesh, you are transgressing against the law of charity. So, they must first of all raise that thing before you, a standard that normally you'd have said, this is the only thing you know. But now, you can't say that anymore. You know something else. You know that you have to engage your brother with the laws of life. Let all your things be done with what?
Charity.
Is this some of your things? Through generations, man has acquired within himself the ways and understanding of the flesh. And he naturally and willingly exercises himself in the path of the flesh. To undo and unright the fleshly nature, he must first, by the training of Christ and the power of the Spirit, receive enlightenment in the heart. From this enlightenment, he generates a new work that changes the nature of the heart and aligns it with God's will. Righteousness is the path of the Spirit. As the soul is enlightened,
trained and exercised, it begins to see and execute righteousness as it is revealed. Walking in the Spirit is a continual exercise of righteous deeds in accordance with the revelations and guidance of the Spirit. The influence and power of the teaching and training of Christ is the enlightenment of the heart and strengthening of the feet. I want us to say these two things. Say enlightenment of the heart. And strengthening of the feet to walk in the path of righteousness. This process transforms the understanding within the heart, aligning it with the will and ways of God. The importance of hearing and learning cannot be overstated. For the enlightenment and revelation of righteousness in every situation begins with hearing through meetings and teaching of anointed preachers of righteousness, and continues by hearing again. This is the secondary hearing, which comes by the activity of the Spirit. Deliverance comes through hearing of faith and the obedience of the truth by the Spirit. You know, First Peter was saying that, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So how do you purify your soul? This purifying your soul is that you are purifying your soul from the ways of flesh. It's through what?
The Spirit.
Obeying the truth through the Spirit. So if you are not obeying the Spirit, you're obeying something else. So it's obedience. Obedience is either for the Spirit or for the flesh. But who are you yielding your members as a servant to? Say to that person, you are a servant. Whether you are using your members to serve, you are a servant. So this thing is simply saying that the only way to purify, I'm so sorry to say this, and don't think maybe we don't extol or understand the place of praying or fasting. All those things are good, but just praying and fasting alone cannot purify the soul. Praying long hours, fasting long days, secluding yourself on mountains cannot purify the soul. Purifying the soul comes by obeying the truth. And the truth is in Jesus. So if fasting can help you fetch what is in Jesus, it is good. If praying can help you fetch what is in Jesus, it is good. But if all those things are just for you to feel good and have testimonies to give that I pray 21 days or I fasted this number of hours, but you are still unable to cite what is in Jesus and fetch it out, that done you no good at all. So the truth is in Jesus. So the vehicle of passing what is in Jesus into your heart is through the avenue of speaking. Psalm 40 was saying that burnt offering and sacrifices you did not desire. Say, but my ear has thou opened. Meaning a man can live his whole life offering sacrifices of food that God does not want, because his ears has not been opened. So the very first thing you must give priority to is the opening of your ears. If there's any prayer you should pray, is that your ears must be opened. Because you can do a lot of things and be okay. The Pharisees felt okay with what they were offering. They were giving sacrifices that was not prescribed by God, although they said they were keeping the law. So a man can be so engrossed with activities, religious routines, a lot of things. In fact, you can be coming to this meeting, but your ears have not been opened yet. If there's any prayer you should pray, that Father, open my ears. That is the only time you can fetch, say, my ear has thou opened. Say, I have come in the volume of the book to do thy will. That says thy law is within my heart. How did the law get within his heart? Because his ears was open. So law cannot find entrance into your heart without the opening of your ears. Ears must be opened. We cannot afford to leave this place, to leave church every Sunday and open our ears to other things. Because your ears are a sacred part of your soul. You must fight for what your ear hears. Certain addictions have turned because of your ear. You heard the word, you felt power. But when you stepped out, you allowed other things to enter your ears. And one of the first commandments Holy Ghost will give you, sometimes look as though you don't have work. Morning, night, you know, there's a way you can hear message, but you're not hearing it. You are doing other things, it's just playing, but you're not hearing it. You have not, it has not become like, you know, the way you, when you are going to work in the morning, there is a mind you are going with, a certain task must be achieved. You must hit certain goals, right? That's how hearing message should be. Hearing message is not just you are winding away time while you are doing other things. It is an intentional transaction to fetch what is in Jesus. If you see it like that, we'll take it much more seriously. When you are hearing, you know you can be hearing, but then you are doing social media. You are doing this, but you said you are hearing. Really, you are not hearing. What you are hearing, you are reading other things. That is really, really what you are hearing. So sometimes you have to put away many things so that you can hear. See, my ear has thou opened. Opening of the ear is the greatest miracle that can happen to a believer. If your ear opens, many things will align. If your ear opens, many things will change. If your ear opens, your eyes will see. When you see the realities in Jesus, some pleasure that you are getting from some certain addiction, there will no longer mean any pleasure to you again. Pleasure holds on to the fact that you can't hear and you can't see. So in the realm of the spirit, we can be deaf and dumb. We can be blind and we can't see. But the power in the gospel, the power in the gospel is the power to ensure that a man, suddenly ear open, suddenly he hears, suddenly he can hear things that mortal man cannot hear. When your ears open, you begin to hear with the frequencies of heaven. Faith is transported into your soul. And when faith enters the soul, when faith enters the whole of a man, that man can say no. No, certain things are coming. We can't say no to it because we don't have the building of faith inside. When faith has been built inside a man, you will look at certain things and you will say no. Because beyond the natural, you can see the invisible. Some men refused their dead being brought to life because they were looking for something. Some men, they were not born again, but they were able by mercy to see something afar off. And because of that, they were able to refuse certain things. Much more you than you are a child of the Most High God. You have been born again. You have much more capacity to see beyond the natural. When your eyes open, when your ear opens, certain things that have held on to your clothes, to your garment, to your person, by defining yourself by those realities, those things will drop off. Look at that woman that was bent over for how many years? 18 years. Daughter of Abraham. She was constantly looking on the floor. You don't know the condition of that situation. This is how she was. That's how she was walking. For 18 solid years, Satan made her like that. That's how the soul of many of us are. We are bowing to the ground because we cannot look up. But when Jesus came, said, daughter, you are loosed. Suddenly, for the first time, she could look up because she heard something. She heard something. She heard something. When you hear Jesus, you cannot remain on the earth.
Shoshopana tepunda apunda pai tetemun tepuna pul pula munata pula apul apula nande puletani antopali pito pulu pula putanasi save 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 pool pool a pool a pool a pool voice my pool. My pool. I save. I still save. I pull men. I can still pull men. I still do pull men. I'm still in the business of pulling men away, taking men away, separating men, take men away from flesh. I'm still in that business. I'm still doing that which I know how to do. I'm still bringing forth the instrumentality of my voice, even for saving. For if you will hear my voice, if only you will hear my voice, you will be taken, you will be separated, you will be separated. Oh, certainly, souls, ascension, come to ascension, power, ascension pool in my voice. Pay attention, for I'm speaking loudly. Open ears. The miracle of open ears. Opening ears. That you may hear my voice, said Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So exposure to the gospel of Christ, they are exposing you to high tension power. You know, it takes power to deliver another person from power. There is no deliverance from flesh without power, because we are bound to flesh by reason of a power. The attachment we have to flesh is because a power is binding us to flesh. So when God wants to yank a man off flesh, he must introduce the power of righteousness. Because one thing that righteousness does is that he exalts a nation. So what the force of exaltation bringing a man from the miry clay is by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So as a man is being preached to and his ears are open to hear, they begin to show him. They first of all show him his future and his hope. They first of all show him his what? His future and his hope in God. One of the things that the world shows you is your future and your hope here that passes away. But what the gospel begins to show you is your future and your hope in God that transcends time. So when a man begins to see that, he begins to receive instructions to begin to take steps out of where he is. The rope that draws a man out is by the understanding of the gospel. So it is the understanding of the gospel that makes men free from prison yards. The world is a prison yard. It's a prison yard that we throw party inside. It's a prison yard that we enjoy. It's a prison yard. You know, they say in the days of Noah, men, they kept eating and drinking, giving in marriage, because there was no understanding that there was something more. So if we are caged in that, a miserable man is a man that the entirety of his life is in this present that passes away. Look at trends. Trends come and they go. In fashion, in music, what is number one today was not number one last year. What is number one last year was not number one 10 years ago. What will be number one tomorrow might not be what is number one today. And everybody wants to follow the trend. There's a breaking news here on earth. There's a breaking news here on earth in the realm of fashion. There's a way women want to look. There's a way men want to be perceived. It's a breaking news. You might not see that, but it's trending. Those are the trends that run men. Latest phones, latest different things, latest gadgets, how you are perceived by society, how men see you, but there's a breaking news in the spirit. In fact, in our community, what's the breaking news here? The Son of God is come. Ask a normal man on the road, the Son of God is looking at you, what are you saying? Because he does not have ears to hear that news. There's a news in our world. What God wants to do is that he wants to change our world. Do you know that worlds have laws around them? On earth, what you have the law of gravity. On earth, that when you are walking like this, your steps are calculated. But do you know that in the moon, if you try to use the same thing, when you take one step, you can meet yourself in Kafansha. Because law of gravity is not holding. That's why they suit themselves and they are very heavy. So that one step like this, they are dragging. But here on earth, another law applies. Same thing. When you come into Christ as a babe. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, because you can't train a babe. You can only feed a babe. Train up a child, not train up a babe. So it's a child you can train. God give the babe better food. That's all you owe a babe. Say, I fed you before. Now again, it'd be like, say, never get. I go see feed you again.
So all what Paul was doing to them was just to feed them. Even the correctional rebuke he was giving them was feeding. So as a babe, they can't train us yet. They begin to give us. But where they really begin to train, say train, is when they begin to show you the standards of Christ. Standards of Christ that goes against your default. That goes against your what you naturally fall back to. What you naturally lean on. That's where Romans 8 now comes. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Say, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Say, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. So do you know what condemnation means? What is condemnation? Condemnation simply means that what a thing is meant for, it is not being used in accordance to what it is meant for. When you see a tire that is condemned, it can still be there, but it can no longer be used. Right?
Yes, sir.
So really, condemnation in our world is that what God has saved you for, you are not walking according to it. So a person can be in church and is condemned. Condemned versus all over. And Satan is happy that I've condemned everybody for God. They are useful to Satan, but condemned. God wants to use, but he cannot. That's why he called us vessels. Say, in a great house are many what? Vessels are for what? Are for use. But as a vessel, if you can't be used, then it is condemned. So what delivers us from condemnation of flesh, flesh makes a man condemned, is by the rewiring of the Spirit. It is when a man is rewired in the Spirit that he can be used. In closing, looking at the understanding of Christ and the everlasting God, working against the flesh begins in the life of a believer when he receives the life that Christ gives. And the eyes of his understanding are lightened by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I know we've been taught the seven spirits of God, the seven spirits of Christ, seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, counsel and might, knowledge and what? Fear of the Lord. What's the seven spirits? Spirit of the Lord, represented by the menorah in the holy place. Without this illumination, the flesh may only be cupped, managed, or numbed, but never truly overcome. You can curb the flesh. You can manage the flesh. You can numb the flesh. But you might never overcome the flesh. It's only the light of Christ that redefines right and wrong to the believer. It raises standards that stand contrary to the work and works of the flesh. Exposing sin as righteousness is revealed and obeyed, the ungodly soul is renewed, and the nature of godliness is formed within, until the believer is made new in life and conduct. The understanding of Christ forges the heart and mind of a spiritual man. By this understanding, he perceives, sees, concludes, and judges matters as Christ would. His senses are exercised to walk according to the law of the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Such a man becomes ignorant of the unclean workings of the flesh and innocent of its deeds, for the old nature loses influence when the mind is renewed in Christ. Faith, hope, and charity are the understandings found in the doctrine of Christ. These principles prepare the believer to walk in the everlasting light until he is able to receive the understanding of the everlasting God. His understanding of the everlasting God forms the divine nature within the soul. As his light searches out and removes wicked ways, the believer is trained to walk in the way everlasting, walking worthy of the Lord. The first works and the last works are everlasting works in the book of Revelation. We can see that produced in the believer who bears the understanding of the living and true God. In contrast to the wicked works of the devil, such a one is brought into the fellowship of the Father. The ways in the heart of a man are vivid and evident before the Lord. Every action executed by a man is not casual, but stands as weighty evidence of the nature within him. Yet by yielding to truth, he can retrain and reculture the soul towards righteousness until his action bear witness of a renewed life formed by God. You know, every way is clear before God. Now our text, we read that the heart of a man is what? Wicked above all. Who can know it? Can we just begin to pray this morning?
Can we respond to the Lord? Can we respond to Jesus? Can we pray? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I just see the Lord again showing to us what is in us. You know, we have the world within and the world without. And most of the time, our struggle is because the world within is yet to gain a grant to actually control the world without. And over the time, one of the things that has been emphasized from the beginning of this lesson is for us to place premium on our soul, what is inside of us. And knowing that there is a work already done inside of us, there is that which the Lord also wants to do. You know, we know that a soul is a land, and what you do with a land is to build. But, you know, one thing you will see in the scripture is how the flesh came first, right? The enemy is actually an enemy of God and man. And one thing you will see about the enemy is how he calculated, you know, by virtue of the fact that he's a spirit, because our enemy is actually a spirit. And he knew, we cannot say that he's ignorant of what God wants to do with man. He might not know in total, but now he's becoming to know. So he went ahead. He went ahead to make sure that he has his tree in the garden first. He planted that tree. We all know that it's not God. You know, the tree was not planted by God. I'm talking about the tree of good and evil. And the essence of that tree is to gain entrance into man. It's good for every man to know that there is something inside of us. You know, a lot of narrative in the body, you know, talking about the salvation of the soul. That are you saying that the soul is not saved, you know, at new birth? And one of the questions in my heart, in the course of the week, somebody eavesdropped and person came. The person said, I want to hear more. He said, what I know is that I need to renew my mind. He said, I have tried renewing my mind. Confession. I always see that there is a law. We were just discussing that place, an enclosed place, and the person said, I want to know more. I just want us to know that men out there are looking for this thing. We can numb the flesh. That's the truth. You can do all kinds of things to the flesh. You know, it's not because men are not talking about the flesh, how they have been part of a company that speaks so much about the flesh. But until the doctrine of Christ, until Christ is preached as righteousness, until Christ is preached as a wisdom, as wisdom for life, until Christ is preached as sanctification and redemption, we will not be free, because that thing is also a law. And this call for intentionality. When Pastor was just talking, I myself, a lot of things to repent of. We will not do good to ourselves if we are just hearing this thing and we are not committing our heart to it. And we are not taking step in the spirit, and we are not judging ourselves each day. Because I discovered that, how do I go to bed? That thing was just prompted in my heart. Do I do evaluation of my day? Right from there, all the engagement I had in the course of the day, how I spoke, my reaction. You know, there is a way we just want to be free. You know, just want to be free. Yeah, no. Yes, I know that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. It doesn't work like that. It works by being accountable to ourselves first. Because even when men hold us accountable, you need to be accountable to yourself. God, there are most of us, yes, God has helped us. We have pastors over us that, you know, some of us, we are in accountability group in one way or the other, but you still have to be accountable to yourself. Because there is no man without conscience. Men out there are looking for solution. I know that that man, afterwards, he sent a message to thank us just for having 40 minutes and 35 minutes. One thing that thing did to me, imagine, you know, you are asking as a discussion, but it's a matter in somebody's heart.
You know, there's a way this nursing can come and just, you know, way of the spirit, and some of us, we come to the cell group and we come to review it again. Look at the children of Israel. They say, no, they are wicked. We are like that. 1 Corinthians 10 shows to all that is the church. It's a church in the wilderness. How men will experience all of that. And all that they could see in that is that they still did not learn the way of God. In that Deuteronomy 8, he speaks about how did Moses know the way of God? They needed to lead him in another direction. And that is why, if anything will really happen to us when it comes to changing the way that is, because that thing is deeply rooted. You know, Christ bring forgiveness of sin. That thing has not come to an end. Because men receive forgiveness of sin in the New Testament, and we still saw how some of them were corrupted again. The reason for the conversation of the Son of God is for victory. And this thing, it must again be seen. And that's why our ears must be open. The Lord is actually in the business of opening our ears and not excuse flesh. Flesh is just like a grass. We should hate flesh. You know, as Pastor was ministering, I just began to see why I must hate flesh. And not hating flesh is not just saying with my mouth. I must begin to see it each day. Relationship with my brother, relationship with my wife, relationship with the brethren in my house, with spiritual authority, because there is a way this thing can be in oblivion. Seriously, it's good to have knowledge, but knowledge is for to do a thing. Knowledge should open the ears for the purpose of sin. We heard the apostle in 1 John saying that this thing that we have heard, we heard it. They heard the voice of he that called it. The same way Jesus called Lazarus. Every man must know that John 11. And when he does have spoken, he cried with a loud voice. If this voice is not loud in our ears, if it's not loud, if it's going to faint from here, we should pray and beg God for our life. Loud voice, Lazarus. That was a scripture that came to my heart in the course of his preaching, that the Lord is crying loudly. But I just perceive the Lord is saying that this is a loud voice. And it's the voice of the Spirit calling us from our debts. You know, Jesus used all kinds of method in raising people, right? But he had to call him forth. And Jesus, as scripture says, come forth. And he that was dead, who came forth by himself? He that was dead came forth. And as when it comes, it has not changed. The technology of calling forth the dead has not changed. It has not changed. It's still the voice of he who is resurrection and life that is calling us. When he came on that scene, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's calling forth with a loud voice. If you are not hearing him loudly, something is wrong. We should know. You know. I know. When I'm hearing. Because something will begin to paint in front of me. I begin to see something. Some men did not just only heard. How we have heard of these things. How we have seen it. And we looked upon it. You don't see this thing and do not look upon it. Because when we look upon it, you will handle it. Life in the spirit is not external. It's not something that is far-fetched. It's a reality of some men. And it's still the reality of men before now, and it's still the reality of our fathers. After saying all this thing in verse 9, this same apostle said, if they say, I have no sin. The reason for church is for sin. Oh. You know, there's a way we can come to church and expect and have different expectations, thinking that maybe, you know, church will do this. The reason for church is for that sin is remitted. And it's not just remitted. Another law is installed. Because sin is not just sin, it's a law. Right? And by virtue of the law of sin, he gave birth to higher law, which is called the law of hell and death. I just see the Lord calling us forth again. And he's saying to us, hear my voice. Hear my voice. My voice is loud. I'm calling forth he that irrespective of the situation we are, there is so much power in the house. There's so much power in the house. Jesus has come. When he comes as the Son of God, he comes in his power of resurrection. And I know that the Lord will bless us in Jesus. Can we respond to Jesus?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.